Everybody who kiss you don't love you. Everybody who smiled in your face sure ain't your friend. Everybody who kiss you don't love you. Everybody who smiled in your face sure ain't your friend. Some people you know.
I think a lot of people can relate to that song. Not everybody who kisses you loves you.
And everybody who smiles in your face sure ain't your friend.
I know a lot of people probably thinking, man, I wish I'd heard that song 10 years ago.
So I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in now.
There you go.
I would have ran.
That's right. And I know a lot of people probably thinking, you know, everybody who kisses you don't love you might think that part of it really, really goes to the ladies. But I'm sure there are a lot of men out there who have been led to believe that they were loved
right.
by a lady just to find out that all that glittered wasn't gold. What was being conveyed wasn't actually true.
And not only that, you know, you have relatives and you have friends and they'll walk up to you and give you a hug, and and even in church, give you a yes. kiss on the cheek. That don't mean they love you. They might have a knife in their hand, that invisible knife.
That's right. That's right.
And ain't nothing worse than that invisible knife.
Those things can do some damage.
That's it.
Leonard Williams, he has been on stage and worked with in one capacity or another with the Winans, Andre Crouch, Reverend James Cleveland, Luther Vandross, Shirley Caesar, Patti LaBelle. I mean, can you imagine working with these people, managing, booking, directing the lead quartet in the world, and one man is accomplishing all of this? It is amazing. How did you pull it all together?
It's a lot of focus, and a lot. I got to give my wife a lot of credit because she was there with me. But it's taking your mind out of the world. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. Never pop pills or nothing like that unless I had a sinus headache. Then I would use Dristans, you know. You know, something for just a sinus. I always had a sinus condition. But I always focused on what if I was doing one thing, I'd look at something and I'd say, I think I'll try that. You know, I believe I can do that. But if you're out drunk, and you high, you can't do that,
yeah.
You know. And if you're out partying, you can't do that. I would get home off of those long tours, and before I get in my house, my phone would be ringing. Somebody wanted me to do an interview. Somebody wanted to book a concert. I had to go cross town to a radio station, mm-hmm. You know. Either I had to go to another town to set up a concert with certain promoters. And I loved. I kept myself busy like that, and you know. And if you, that was my gift. I just was doing my gift.
Yeah.
God gave it to me,
yeah.
And I followed it. And another thing, if you do it to the best of your ability, you'll be successful. I enjoyed doing it. I met a lot of good people, and I met some not so good people. But it was a busy time.
I like that. Some good and some not so good in your journey. With just the little bit that you've been able to share with us in this short period of time, I've got to say your journey has been an interesting one. And my guess is it is still an interesting one. Tell us overall, where are you in life now?
Well, going through all of that, I think going to the Apollo Theater, the Madison Square Garden, you know, Disneyland, Opera Land, and, you know, Bahamas and all these places, I wrote I'm Just a Nobody. And when you start getting into yourself, you know, you start thinking it's me. You start buying the Mercedes. You start buying the sports cars. You get more than one home. And then you get into self. And that was my downfall. When you're into self, and I'm going to tell anybody that's out there that's listening, if you're into yourself, you're on the way to destruction. You know, sooner or later, self going to run into a wall that God going to have to reach out and pick you up. And you're going to alienate a lot of people when you get into yourself, because when you're selfish, people know that.
Mm.
And I help people. Even I was selfish saying things like, I wrote the song, That's My Car, with the greatest group, you know. And the thing about the kick it on stage, you know, you done heard that stuff, you know, who's the best, you know, we're going to run them out of the house, all that kind of stuff. And God had to bring me down where I lost things. I lost business. I lost my house in a fire. You know, sometimes your children start acting all crazy. Yeah. Your relatives that you thought was in you were in business with took my money. And the list goes on. But I was out of touch with God. I was doing all that stuff. And a lot of those things happened to me. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me and telling me, don't do it. But I overrode that and said, okay, yeah, that's a good business deal. I can make some money off of that. But right where I am now, I had to turn over to God. I was at the point of suicide about 3.5 years ago. I had all these Stellar Awards, all these plaques, all that didn't mean nothing because I didn't have God in my life. And now I'm filled with God, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and now I did my call, I've started ministering.
Awesome.
And I said I would never do revivals. The first call I got almost was people want me to do revivals. And see, that was God letting me know what he wanted me to do. Yes. Right now I'm following God's footstep, and I'm following his lead instead of I'm trying to lead him. That's where I am now. When you follow God, you can't go wrong.
That is amazing. I tell you what, and one of the things, Brother Williams, that I find very fascinating about what you shared with us today, for one thing, you're not angry, bitter about what went wrong. And when I say you're not angry or bitter, not only are you not angry with the people who did some things that were wrong, but you're not angry at God for having allowed it to happen. You see all the good that was working for you, for your best interest, and how it brought you to the point where you needed to have been all along. And you're happier being now that you're there.
I am truly happy now. There's a happiness in me. There's a light in me that I can't explain. There's a feeling in me that, you know, if you can't buy this feeling I have. If I could sell this, millionaires will be lining up at my door paying me $1 million a piece to get this feeling I have inside of me right now.
I tell you what, it is something you can't buy, but it is so real.
It's so real. Awesome. I like that, brother. And I'm going out to a lot of small churches. I'm speaking, I'm preaching, I'm teaching, I'm singing. And if it don't be one person there, I'm going to praise God with that person. Because when God said, where there's two or three assembly, when there's two, he would be in the midst.
That's right.
And I tell you what, people are being saved. Men are coming to Christ. Had a man of Columbia, South Carolina, come to me and said, brother, will you save me today? I said, I'm glad I saved you. He said, no, you saved my life because tomorrow I was going to commit suicide. Mm. So he was about 35 years old. That's the kind of ministry I have now. That's what I'm doing now. So if you want some of this, you can get this man a call. I'll bring some of this Holy Ghost out to your church.
Leonard Williams, everybody, thank you so much for coming out.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my life story and just some of it and share what God have done for me, and not only what he can do for me, what he can do for you. And Christmas just around the bend, and Jesus is the reason for the season, and whatever you have, thank God for it.
Amen, everybody. We appreciate Leonard Williams. You stay with us. We'll be right back at the 2 o'clock hour.
The enemy was all around. Thank you, Lord. You never forsake us. Lord, you never left us. You never let us down. We